You make a deal with Netflix and you don't have money that comes into you forever. You get paid and then money 20% more or 30% more, but that's it.
It didn't come natural to me. There's so many things that I think about now I wish I had known when I was younger.
What I believe resonates with people who are particularly now is content that has some sort of meaning to it. It's more than just pure entertainment.
And so suddenly MTV was the only thing, it seemed, in the whole world, and all of Hollywood and everybody else was taking their cues from this startup.
I did not know a single writer when I became a writer. I think if you're trying to become a writer from someplace other than Los Angeles and New York, I still think that's really difficult.
Welcome to Hollywood Wolfpack with Kaya Alexander, featuring in-depth interviews and insights with professionals in the entertainment business. Get everything you need to navigate your above-the-line career right here. This podcast is often recorded live in front of Kaya students in the Entertainment Business School. You can find out more at entertainmentbusinessschool.com. Enjoy the show.
Hi, and welcome, everyone. I'm Kaya Alexander. I am the host of the Hollywood Wolfpack podcast. I'm here today with my very special guest, Yvonne Mabakop. Let me tell you about Yvonne. In front of the camera, Yvonne has starred on the big and small screen opposite Ryan Reynolds, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, Hugh Jackman, Giancarlo Esposito, David Oyelowo, and so many more. Find him in Red Notice, Hawkeye, Bass Reeves, and the upcoming Parrish series this month. Behind the camera, life has been just as productive. Yvonne's first ever short, Victus, won multiple nominations and an award. This was 5 years ago. Since then, he directed, DP'd, acted simultaneously on 8 more projects. They include no less than 5 feature films that went on to be distributed on Lifetime, Amazon Prime, Netflix, Apple TV, and more. His latest release is a short film entitled Numb that amassed an impressive 15 laurels, including the official selection and nomination for the Oscar-qualifying Best Short Narrative at the Pan-African Film Festival. Yvonne! So happy.
Thank you, Kaya.
So happy to have you here today. From the time you were a kid, did you know that you wanted to be an actor?
No, that's the short of it. Actually, no. I didn't. I ran into it quite by accident. I was picking up my wife from a dance class. And they were offering here in Atlanta, a couple of years ago, probably closer to 10 years ago, it was a city that was known for music, its music production and stuff. So as the industry started migrating here, new studios opened up. Yes. So I walk in this place, I'm here to pick up my wife. No, sit down, go through the 4 stages of emotion, blah, 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 blah. And I fell in love with it. It was fantastic. Yeah.
You're such a creative person, and you've DP'd and now directed and written. Have you always been this creative? And how did you find Hollywood as part of your creative outlet?
I've always known that I like to write. As a little kid, I was writing and I was drawing. I never associated Hollywood. In fact, when I was outside of the business, I used to think actors were vain. I used to think, the typical cliche, not knowing that it's such an art. It's so multidimensional. It's physical. It's emotional. It's even spiritual. It's psychological. It's so much, So once I ran into this situation when I was going to pick up my wife, I very quickly realized too, though, that acting necessarily was not my passion. It took me a minute. There's an incident, something that happened. I went to LA to meet a manager, signed with them almost right away, the first year I started acting. But then something happened with an agency, a major agency. And it was a whole thing, back in the day, it wasn't as progressive as it is now. I think the person asked me if I could speak if I could be Black, as in being urban. I got offended, which you should never get offended in this business, right? And then I left the business. But in the process, what happens is I realized that I was not in love with writing, with acting as much as I'm in love with storytelling. Storytelling in any form would get me going, like any form, you know? So.
Are you a big reader? Like, were you a big reader as a kid?
No, surprisingly, I hated reading.
Oh my gosh.
I didn't. I didn't like reading. I love watching movies, eating ice cream, you know, that stuff.
I love that you have this passion for storytelling. And how has that evolved for you as you have discovered your love of storytelling, types of stories that you want to tell and are telling now?
So the first thing that you realize is that you have to do what you enjoy. There's two things that you're going to keep hearing. Do what you love and do what you know. So my stories end up always being centered around responsibility with a little bit. It's responsibility, parenthood, family structure. That's all I know, right? Just for everyone, I guess, for everyone's benefit, I grew up overseas. Literally grew up, was raised. I was born and raised overseas. When I came here, I was 16 and I didn't know a word of English. So it took a minute to really realize the culture shift, how we were raised and how African Americans are raised here, two completely different things. So some of the things I took for granted, I saw that here was a problem and vice versa. But so the focus on family, on strong bonds and stuff like that was very immediate, very apparent to me to be something of value to discuss all the time and have a passion doing that. And I love science fiction. So that's the me, the family me, and then what I love, science fiction. So all of my stuff, for the most part, would have probably 3-4% science fiction dabbled into it. So that's kind of my thing, my brand.
Oh, yes. We talk a lot about brand in the entertainment business school. Has that evolved for you? Like, did you always know, oh, this is who I am, what I want to do. I love science fiction. These are the types of stories I want to tell. Or have you made discoveries along the way coming into that?
No, it's always been that. It's always been from the days I used to watch Knight Rider, you know, to.
I loved Kit.
Kit. I do not like you guys. I'm such a fan of Kit. But yeah, from those days till today, it's the same yearning. It's the same thing that I love watching. The Twilight Zone. Oh, you can kidnap me with that. You know, you turn it on and take me. So.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC. Oh,
the Rod Serling. I used to watch it on Saturdays as a kid. You know, those the formative years of those discoveries. I want to ask about the show that's coming out now because you're in Parrish. And I'd love to hear more about the show. It's so exciting and huge congratulations for you, sir, with the show coming out. It's a great one.
Thank you, Kaya. Thank you so much. It is worth mentioning. You guys, just remind me because I really do want to talk about Kaya and Kaya's impact. I do. I really do. Because, you know, I booked that show after I met you, Kaya.
I know.
And part of that process is from what I took from your words. So we'll talk about that. But Parrish is interesting. It's a story of two families, right? Funny enough, an African-American family and an African family, and how they deal with the turmoils in their life. Like, you know, you have two fathers, you have two gangs. So basically, Giancarlo Esposito plays this guy, this regular guy who owns a cab company. and he's falling on hard times and he's having difficulties, you know, financially, and he wants to sell the house. The wife doesn't want to sell the house and it's like tearing the home apart. But then out of the blue, a friend of his from his old life, you know what I mean? His bad life comes back and say, hey, dude, I'm in trouble. These guys are going to kill me. You got to help me. And, you know, it's the classic, no, I can't do that, blah, blah, blah. And then you raise the stakes. And then finally he gets into it. Well, turns out the bad guys that his friend is working for, it's us. It's the bad guys from over the pond, right? And what we do is, it's not the typical drug trafficking or any of that stuff. It's human trafficking. So these are very, very bad South African-based. It's a trio. So it's me. I have a little brother who basically runs the family, which makes my character very resentful, right? And then we have a sister who's like stuck in the middle of both of us. Very interesting story.
So you're really playing the villain in this.
And loving it. And I'm just, I'm such a friendly guy normally. I promise you, Kaya, all of you guys, I'm going to tell you two things. Number one, I make a very good villain. I know you don't believe it, but I promise you, I'm so mean. And then number two, you definitely have to. So the premiere, so we're doing the carpet premiere in 4 days, I think next Wednesday. But the show airs on the 31st
of March.
You gotta watch. Yeah, the 31st of March. You guys have to watch it, because at the very end of the pilot, I do something very, very unexpected. It's going to be worth your time. I promise.
Oh, that's so exciting.
Yes.
It's airing on AMC. Will it also be streaming to one of the various platforms? Do you know?
Yeah. So from what I understand is AMC and AMC Plus, they're streaming arm. So, yeah.
Great. Okay. So that's where we get to tune in. Oh, that's so exciting. Yeah. I remember you filming in New Orleans. Is it also set in New Orleans?
It is. It is. The setting is New Orleans with the whole French, the whole, it's very eclectic, right? Like it's very colorful. It's very, it's culturally rich, I would say. They did a very good job. And then the sound, the team that they hired for the sound, it was a husband and wife pair. These guys are, every time I look at it, I look and I'm hearing it. It really sends me those Wakanda Black Panther vibes. It's a risk. It was a risk. But then again, you know AMC for taking major risks, like The Walking Dead, right? Like, I mean, they have some huge franchises because they're willing to do something different.
And they bought all of Anne Rice's, you know,
yeah,
and everything. Those fun to see, like Interview with the Vampire there. Okay, yeah. So you're in New Orleans. You grew up speaking French, didn't you?
I did, yes.
Yeah, you grew up speaking French. Do you get to speak French on the show at all?
Je parle français. Je parle. Qu'est-ce que tu veux savoir? Qu'est-ce que tu veux que je dise là?
J'ai étudié français en école 3 ans.
You cannot. She, guys, 3 years is not enough to speak like this. Wow, Kaya.
J'ai oublié tout.
No, you haven't. So she just said she forgot everything. I can't say I forgot everything in Spanish. You know what I mean? So, oh, that's great.
It was so crazy because in California, I was fascinated by French. And like, it's absurd because now I'm like doing the Duolingo. I actually learn Spanish, the language I can use every day here.
Yeah. I know. I need to learn Spanish. I'm behind the eight ball there.
You are in New Orleans. For those who are listening to the show who aspire to be in the business, who may not necessarily have been on a big production like this, can you just give us a sense of like, what was your day like? What was your, you know, life like? Where did you stay? Could you take us behind the scenes a little bit?
Yes, sure. So it is as glamorous as they paint it. Like, really. And I think that's the reason why people lose their compass, you know, and people obsess over that life, because they treat you like a god. You're like, you do nothing for yourself. Like, you know, and mind you, I'm not number one. Giancarlo is number one. Mm-hmm. I'm a lead, but, you know, so we were lodged. It took care of us. I was in an apartment, a luxury apartment, for the entire duration of the shoot, which was 4 months. Yes.
And like where? What part of town? I know New Orleans.
Oh, you do? The CBD, Central Business District.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So we were there, just very well taken care of all the time. And there was a car that came to get us, you know, to go to set, to go to base camp, and then from base camp to set, and so on and so forth. You guys know about the food and, you know, all that good stuff. the production was outside of Red Notice, because Red Notice was huge. It was over 400 crew when we were shooting my little scene with just me and Ryan and The Rock. Yeah.
Wow. The one where you're coming out of the plane.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And it was a real plane. It was like a $70 million jet there. And it's crazy. It's like, that's the biggest set I've been on. Still though, Parrish was very big. And what you have to do, I guess, as an actor, you have to remember why you're there. And while everybody wants to schmooze and treat you a certain kind of way and, you know, oblige them, because sometimes it's a pleasure for them to do that, you know, oblige them, be normal, be a nice guy, but focus on why you were hired.
Mm.
So like, know your lines, your intentions, work with the director, do not get distracted, because it will be easy. It's easy to drink the Kool-Aid, you know? So
yeah, makes a lot of sense. So setting your ego aside so that you can really perform and do the job that you were hired to do.
Absolutely. Always.
Keeping your compass. Like, would you have any rituals that you do to tune in for yourself for that, to get centered?
Yes, absolutely. When I get to base camp, because, you know, you typically get to base camp, you're in your trailer for a second, and then they send in somebody, a PA, to get you for wardrobe and, you know, hair and makeup and all that stuff. What I would do is, when I come in, I immediately start reading, rehearsing. I would have already memorized everything and read at home and everything, but I start to retrieve the character, right? Because every time you change setting, what you remember, and I don't want to say practice, because you don't practice as an actor, right? You don't practice. You just get familiar with that character. If you have a particularly given scene, you can't help it. As an actor, whatever is physically around you sort of becomes part of what you do in that scene. So I would recenter myself in my trailer on purpose, just sort of throw myself off. And then once we're called on set, right before the rehearsal, I would do the same thing. And the idea here is to completely puzzle and confuse myself so that I'm as organic as possible when the cameras roll, you know?
Oh, that's fascinating. I love that, hearing this part of your process.
Yeah. Yeah. And the less I do it, the more nervous I am when the cameras roll. Mm-hmm. And if I've prepared enough, I literally don't care. And sometimes I even take liberty to go off script. You have to do it respectfully and know the directors and the writers. But if I have to do this to really sink in and then get the words right, to me, that's okay.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah. Finding character.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And
really bringing that through. That's so fascinating. You have a unique perspective on the industry, on what's happening right now in the industry. Here we are, early 2024. You were on strike for a long time. Yes. Last year, the Writers Guild was on strike too. And we've now angled into a whole new world with AI and everything else. Could you give us some of your insights about the industry, what's happening with pilots and everything else?
So Kaya, there's like, what, hundreds of pilots every year?
Right
around this time? Yeah. So what I was just reading an article recently from Variety, and they were saying this year there were three pilots.
Oh my God. Three.
One of them is Suit LA.
Oh, Suit. Yeah. LA. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
My son and I watched the whole show.
Yeah. It's a fantastic show. I was fortunate to audition for that pilot. But when you hear stories like most actors, every single actor I've talked to so far, They've had 1, 2, maybe 3 auditions in the past 6 months. Okay. I will say this and then I'll qualify it. I'm fortunate. I have a team. I've been averaging maybe 3 auditions a week. So I don't necessarily, yes.
Wow.
One of them was actually a straight, that's another thing. I just did a straight callback. I never even auditioned with Sharon Bialy because she knows my work from other things, right?
Love it.
What I'm trying to say is this. Once you sow enough seeds and it saturates, it kind of doesn't really matter what the industry does, right? It doesn't matter, because here's the thing. While certain people might look at me and, oh, you're fortunate, am I? Because I'm auditioning. Yes, I got a chance to audition for this role, but guess what? Instead of them looking at 10 people like they normally would, they're probably looking at 100.
Mm.
You know what I mean? So it's bad for everyone. Right. Writers, the gentleman I was telling you about earlier, Kai, the showrunner, yes, on Billions. I mean, he just told me he finally got a writing gig. He sold a show 2 weeks ago to Universal. And he's elated. That's the first big thing he's done in like a year.
Mm.
So it slowed down for everyone. And this is the point I'm trying to make. I have gotten to the point. I came from a place where I used to complain, my old agent, like, oh, I'm not getting enough audition. What's going on? Blah, 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 blah. Once you start, and I was talking to Nikki Lachey. Hi, Nikki. I was talking to Nikki about this 2 days ago. We cannot stop and wait for anyone. You cannot afford to do that. Here's what you're doing. You have the goods, right? You have the asset. You're waiting for someone to come and give you permission to sell your asset. The value is with you, right?
Yes.
I remember we were talking, Kai, and I said, we're not breaking into the industry. We are the industry. We are the industry. It's us. It's always been us. It's just a little bit more apparent now because of technology. Look at Tyler Perry and what he did in 1992. I mean, Tyler Perry was the first one to do all of that. He said, you know what? These people don't believe in me. That's okay. A few people are going to believe in me. And yeah, he's the richest guy in the business right now. Right. 1997, Good Will Hunting. These two guys made a name for themselves. They just got up, they wrote the movie, they believed in themselves, and they did it. They went for it. In the process, you're going to look stupid. People are going to tell you can't do it. That's part of the process. Be concerned if nobody is hating on you.
Mm.
It's supposed to happen. Don't let it discourage you. And then we all know Issa Rae.
Yeah.
And Issa Rae, it actually took, it's not like she put it up there, like the popcorn generation we have right now. We want everything to happen. No. 2011, she put up her show on YouTube, and it took 2 years. And look at her now. And then the latest is Risa, the TikTok girl. It like, you
can't. I
don't
know about her.
What'd you say, Kai?
I don't know about her.
Yeah, Risa Tisa. You know, it's a limited example, right? I want to qualify that because a lot of people in the industry are upset about that. But Risa posted a bunch of videos. She was basically complaining about her husband. Like, the title was "Who the hell did I marry?" But it resonated, right? At the end of the day, it's content. It resonated with people. She had millions of views, and she was recently signed by CAA.
They're looking at that audience and those eyeballs. It's powerful.
Yes. And that's what I'm saying. Once upon a time, we didn't have YouTube. Once upon a time, we didn't have, if what you're doing is truly unique and you believe in yourself, prove it, put it out there. You cannot wait. So I went from, oh my God, please give me a job. Well, what are we doing? Kaya, I so don't care. Like, if you don't call me with an audition, every time I get an audition request, it feels like a disturbance. Now I have to stop this whole creative project that I'm working on. And Kaya knows I'm literally working on 3 projects right now. And I'm so consumed by it. I feel like I'm being disrupted to do this audition and to get back to it, which means that the roles that I'm not getting, I'm not losing sleep over them. I forget, you know? So you guys, so much. And Kaya told me about the creative powerhouses that you guys are. Yeah, you got to get out there. You got that. This is really where I was when I met Kaya. I've always said this. I came in this class in EBS thinking that, okay, I'm going to learn about business and all of that. And I learned it, and Kaya critiqued my pitch deck and all of that. But what I got out of this class is something that I didn't expect. It was really permission. Kaya told me, he's like, what are you doing? What are you doing? What are you waiting for? You have enough right now to do what you need to do. It's off of that permission that, and everything that you do, right? We're going to talk about being multi-hyphenate in a second, but everything that you do affects everything else that you're either doing or not doing. So if you say, oh, I'm just a writer, guess what? Pick up a camera, start shooting. Trade places, start acting. I promise you, it will enrich your writing. It will, undeniably. So the thing that Kaya deposited in my life on the business side, on the writing side, on the pitching side, influenced my auditioning process. It influenced the fact that I picked up the phone. I called people that I met on different sets, because, you know, working, that's another thing about working. It's a way of networking. You meet people that you would otherwise never run into. So, you know, I pick up the phone and call showrunners. Now I call directors. I call, you know, I get on the phone with David Oyelowo. He tells me stuff. But the key here is not, oh, I know such and such is worthless. The key is what they tell you and what you get out of it. Like, for example, David said to me, people see him and they think, oh, yeah, he's successful. David, at any given time, between him and his wife, his production company, he has a minimum of 4 projects that he's developing. So when there is a meeting, it's, hey, I got this. Oh, no? Well, how about this? How about that? These people constantly produce themselves. That's the reason why, if we don't develop the habit right now of pushing ourselves, writing material, wanting to shoot material, it's never going to happen for you. I mean, the A-listers are doing that because nothing is guaranteed. We have to do that.
Keeps your sword sharp, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, and you know, like I say, we are the industry, guys. We are. The disruptive projects that are making Hollywood, most of them are indie films. Most of them are creative pieces that are born out of problem solving, because you don't have millions of dollars lying around.
Yes.
It's us. Yeah. Yeah.
How did you find your courage, your belief in yourself to just throw yourself at everything that you're doing now?
It was a process. It was such a process. At first, you know, you can be talented and not know you're talented for a long time. You know, it started with my wife telling me, you know, you got to stop being so sheepish. You're sapping the power out of you when you stand somewhere and apologize. And apologies is not just words. It's the way you stand. You kind of, you know, just want to be nice, you know, and you finish your action and scene. And then you're looking at the casting director. Did I do that right? What? No. No, they're not. That's such a turnoff, right? You have to instruct. You have to come in with a certain energy without being cocky, obviously. You have to bring something to the table. I think the key for me was for me to understand that what I was bringing to the table was of value. And this is where you enter the Kayas in my life. I'm going to tell you exactly what happened to me.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The first aha moment How do I? Let me start with the last aha moment. The very last aha moment was Kaya, was 2 years ago. You know, I was in class. She reviewed the reaction she gave me for my pitch deck. I literally stopped looking at the pitch deck as this stupid thing that I threw together. I don't even know. It's probably never going to work. Kaya responded to that viscerally. She encouraged me. The structure of the story is fantastic. The this and the that. Yvonne, this is fantastic. You know, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. I just need you to know. She said, I need to know when you do sell this show, you need to come back and talk to the class and shit. That said like that, I promise you, that's the very reason why I started literally calling my agent that I already had and said, what you doing? You just repping me on the acting side. Take a look at this. And his mouth was on the floor. Like, what are we doing here? Literally right now. So pitch deck, proof of concept, shot a movie around it, which is the one that we're going to watch, Nam. Yeah. And then he says to me, he says, Yvonne, depends on how you want to do this. I know a guy who has a first look deal with A24. Guaranteed, they're going to look at your script, but you got to write it. Right? So right now, I'm literally slated to talk to A24 probably sometime before June with the script. Now, this is my fault because I should have been talking to them because Kaya 2 years ago told me, I'm going to call you back, sir. You need to finish the script. But, you know, life happens, right? So
you've been working too. Okay, so what stage is the script at now?
The script is outlined, which I'm pretty proud of. And my manager, and we've talked about this too, Kaya, my manager who's repping me as a performer, as an actor, he used to be a literary manager, but he got out of that. So he's excellent at writing and all this other stuff. So we're not working on it together. I'm right. He's making sure that I know that I'm writing it, but he's giving me constant feedback. And it's a process that's never over, right? So we're waiting for it to be in a place where we're both like, wow, okay, let's go sit down and see these people, you know?
I love that. This is where it's really all coming together for you. And you were just sitting on the cusp of it was what I saw when you were in class in the entertainment business school. It was like, you have all the goods. I remember that deck.
Thank you, Kaya.
Super.
So yeah, it's always been there, but I've never believed in it until someone from the outside, Kaya, came and said, and let me tell you something. The reason why too, it's so important not to take that for granted is because I had other people in my life who around that time, there were directors. So there's in another life that lasted probably 3 years, I was a DP. I've tried to fill in so many different shoes, but I used to work for this director. I used to work with this director. When I realized that I would be miserable being sitting behind this camera, looking at these actors, not performing to the top of their potential. And I don't want to be bitter. You know what I mean? You start hating people. You start walking around with an attitude for no reason. If you want to act, dude, put the camera down and go act. It's fine. And when I told her that, she discouraged me. She said, nah, you're not a good actor. I mean, look at your DP work. You know, you have awards. You got to keep DPing. So the people around you are going to tell you things based on their personal agendas.
Right.
You have to be able to sift through that. My manager, for example, and my agent, they gain nothing from my literary quote unquote success. And yet they're pushing me. Right. They're pushing me. That's the kind of team that you want around you.
I love that. Let's talk a little more about team before we watch your movie. I'm always asking my guests who is in your wolf pack.
Yes. So your team, I'm not going to teach anything about team because Kaya is she's the master at this, right? I can just tell you what my team consists of. The very first one is my wife. She believes in me. She believed in me before anyone did. And then for a while, it was her, then it was her and my sister in the business, Yolanda, who's always, the day we met, she believed in me. And she used to tell me, oh, man, why are you so, why don't you believe in yourself? You know, all this other stuff. Mm-hmm. So it's those two. And then very gradually, I added three more people. My manager. I was introduced to my manager by my agent. And with my agent, it was very transactional. It's like, hey, well, looks like you're good. So I'm going to go ahead and rep you. And that's a completely different story that I have to talk to you about, Kai. But Femi, he repped me. He introduced me to my manager. My manager and I, so first of all, he speaks French. So there's like almost every time we get together, it's like this French-English mixture we're speaking.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. We're connecting outside of the business. And I really love the guy. He really loves me. And he's, I mean, if I send an audition, I don't care who it is, send an audition to Sarah Finn. And I'm like, you know what? I don't like the way that I ended that thing. Can you call us? Can I send another tape? And he will be on it. Like, that's just what he does. And because of my relationship with him, it affected my relationship with my agent. And now him and I are very, very close, right? And you guys already know, Kaya. Kaya is part of my wolf pack. So, but you need those things. I remember Issa Rae said, network. A lot of people want to network up. It's a moot point. You're wasting your time because guess what? They don't care about you. You can't do anything for them. Because hierarchically speaking, you're below them. It sounds harsh. And trust me, I'm not the person to see people in caste that way, but that's how the business works. And if you push someone hard enough, they will tell you that, hey, I'm a director. You're nothing but a PA. Go sit down over there. It's unfortunate, but that's how it works. So what Issa says is network sideways, network with your peers.
Yeah, laterally.
Laterally, exactly. You don't know where people are going to be tomorrow. They're lateral today, but tomorrow they're the very ones who can call you in for a read that can change your life or vice versa. Or you can help them. So that's my pack. It's fairly small. And I think it should be small.
Yeah. When I worked for Gary Shandling, he used to say, in your entire life, you would be really lucky to have like five good friends, you know, five close people. He's like, I think I have three. I think most people probably have two or three or maybe even one. And I was I remember I was like 29. I was so confused by that. I was like, wait, what? Like, you're famous. You have a million people coming to your house all the time in the comics and everybody else. But like, he really meant that close, the people you trust. The people you can call at 2 a.m. if something happens and who you can tell the truth to. And he knew how rare that was. So he was always trying to be that person for others in the industry, to call the comic who was on, you know, the Tonight Show, who's going back to their empty, cold hotel room alone and going, hey, I saw your performance. It was great. I want you to know that you landed it. And like those lonely moments that we all have in this business, to be there for others those who will tell you also the truth. Because if you get to those higher levels and there's less truth tellers at those higher levels because there's just a lot of brown nosing. It's like, oh, well, I want to work with you and you're so great and you're so great. You're so great. You're so great. But like, then those people end up going, well, what, but was it really great? Like, where's the truth? And it's hard to find and triangulate the truth as you get to higher levels. So having you like the wolf pack that you have, it sounds like you have people who are willing to be real with you. And that's so valuable.
And it goes, that's a sword that cuts both ways, right? Because what I was going to say is, as much, Kaya, as you're willing to tell me the truth, I cannot, guys, I'm a parent too, so I already knew this, right? You cannot love Kaya when she's telling you how wonderful you are. And then when she tells you that thing sucks, well, I mean, she doesn't really know my vision. No, don't do that. Don't. It's true, right? As a matter of fact, it is the corrective comments. It was the hey, this is probably a little bit too long because I tend to be verbose. It's like, you want to do this, you want to do that. Brutally honest. When you find that, you know that you can trust these people. You can rely on these people. So
people who believe in you, who are also trying to help you be better and reach the levels that are possible for you. You know, with you, Yvonne, I remember just seeing that, like, you were in a place where, like, you had
you're driving a Ferrari and you had your foot on the gas and the brakes a little at the same time. And yeah. I felt like I was able to just say, how about you take your foot off the brake?
Yes, exactly. I like the visual. I like it. Yeah. That's what happens.
Because this thing could go real fast if you took your foot off the brake.
Kaya, last time we had a call with Kaya, probably 2 weeks ago, Kaya didn't know that I was working on two other projects, like what I just told you guys. She saw the pitch deck for The Witnesses, which NUM, the short film, is about. But she didn't know about these other two projects. And I was like, Kaya, of all people, I've never shown it to anyone. I sent it to her. And she got to see what she helped build. Because it's because of that permission she gave me that I was like, you know, this very quirky idea, I think I'm going to kind of follow it. And it's like, the feedback so far is amazing.
It's sci-fi roots. Your sci-fi coming
yes.
up. Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. It's you're very different.
And your very passion, different. Your sci-fi. I love that.
Yeah.
I always get to learn from my guests. Yvonne, you are just a font of information and wisdom. And wisdom. I so appreciate you. Thank you for taking the time. Thank you for being here, for sharing your vision and your energy and your passion with us. We're so blessed. Thanks for giving us some of your Saturday to be with us. And will you please keep me posted about...
I will.
So good for you. And I hope the red carpet is so fun that you have this week. Break a leg.
It's going to be amazing. They gave us a preview and they told us what to say, what not to say, no spoilers, da 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 da. So, you know what, Kai? I'm gonna FaceTime you from there. I'm gonna FaceTime you. Yeah, I'm gonna FaceTime you.
Holy cow, that's so exciting! Oh my gosh, you're on a rocket ship and you're going straight up. Can't wait to see what happens with this and everything else. I can't wait to see Parrish. It just sounds incredible.
It's gonna be amazing. I'm telling you.
I should ask you this, though, because my son does like watching a lot of the things I watch. Is this 12-year-old friendly show or not?
It actually is. The thing that happens at the end of the pilot, though, I'm not responsible. I'm just saying, you know, But overall, it's a pretty clean show.
That's really exciting. Oh, I can't wait to see. Well, thank you all so much for your time. I'm going to go ahead and wrap the meeting. Have a fantastic weekend, everybody. And happy spring, because next week is the first week of spring here in the atmosphere. Woo!
Thank you, guys. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you, Kaya.
Thanks for listening to Hollywood Wolfpack. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. Please help our pack grow by sharing Hollywood Wolfpack with your friends and colleagues. Give us a rating and write us a review. Kaya loves hearing from you and reads them all. For more on Kaya and the Entertainment Business School, visit entertainmentbusinessleague.com. Until next week, remember, the strength of the pack is the wolf, and the strength of the wolf is the pack.